you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, June 21st, 2016, and we're going to pick up right where we left off yesterday as Pastor Jason Shiffo delivered a 45-minute message this past Sunday on Father's Day on the topic, Equipped to Go, titled Investing, using Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7 as an outline, along with a variety of other scriptures. Friends, be encouraged when sharing your faith as we have the power of hope, the Holy Scriptures, and Christ's example to strengthen and equip us. Here's my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Shiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet, starting us off in Philippians to encourage us to be like Jesus by spending time with God and investing in others.
Philippians says in chapter 2, if there is any encouragement in Christ. I love how Paul says this, if there is any encouragement. He's not saying, are you totally encouraged? He's speaking to people and saying, is there any? Is there a shred, a little tiny bit? Is there any encouragement in Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any participation in the Spirit? Any affection and sympathy? Have this mind amongst you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, not yours. You only have it because of Him. Who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What Paul is doing in Romans 15 and verse 3 is he is showing us Christ our example. Christ is our example as we walk and we invest in other people. Now, I bet if we took a poll around this room, I bet you if we talked and we weren't talking churchy, because I get it that sometimes we get around each other and we're like, oh, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all this stuff and that. But during the week when you're watching TV, you're like, gosh, I wish I could be like that person. You're watching sports and you're like, I can't believe he just did that. What would it be like if you could make a three-pointer like that? I mean, if I took a poll around the room, who would you want to be like? What leader or artist or actor or musician or speaker or teacher, and if you're really weird like me, what preacher? What mother, what father, what grandfather do you look at and you go, gosh, I just want to be like them. If I could only be like them. But I want to ask you, do any of your lists include Jesus? Does anybody's list in here say, I want to be like Jesus? I just want to be like Him. It's funny because I asked about 25 people this week. And Jesus wasn't on any list. So I know that there's a truth, a very human kind of truth in that. But for Paul, Jesus' example, who Jesus was, carried immense weight and power. Jesus paid a tremendous price in order to minister to us. And Paul quotes Psalm 69 and 9, this prophetic word that is accomplished. He quotes that to prove his point. I mean, do we think we're making a great sacrifice because we go across the way and we knock on our friend's door and we say, hey, I just want to say hi. Jesus is our example. That is a small sacrifice in light of His sacrifice. Praise God for His, because His makes that one possible. His great sacrifice. We don't even have to touch that. None of us have to live in fear of being hammered to a cross. And yet we're so afraid to knock on our neighbor's doors. We're so afraid to get in a conversation with somebody who isn't like us. When we think about Jesus and we think about His great sacrifice, I think the problem that many of us have is we're victims of this kind of thinking that says, but that's Jesus. He's God. Like, I'm not God. I'm not even close. I can't even take the trash out sometimes. That somehow Jesus' actions on earth aren't quite real to us because they're outside of what we can really understand. Even though Jesus said to us, you'll do greater things than these, didn't He? But what Jesus did, I want to tell you, friends, what Jesus did happen. It is really real. It did happen. This is what Jesus was and this is what Jesus is like. The Bible tells us, I love as a kid we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. It tells me what Jesus was like. Who wants to be like Jesus? John 15 and 12 and 13 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." What's even more remarkable, not only is this the pattern for Jesus' life, but it is also the power of Jesus' life. It's the power of our lives. We can do this only by Jesus' power. 1 John chapter 2 and 6 says, "Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He, being Jesus, walked. By the power of the Holy Spirit." Remember when it says in Luke that Jesus went into the Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit? And so if we say, "I just don't know how I do that. I don't know how I invest in others." If we say, "I cannot. I just don't know how I reach out to other people. It's outside my comfort zone." I had one person tell me, "You know what? Doing that is just not one of my gifts." I just want to be honest with you and say what you're really saying is, "I won't. I won't obey what Christ has called me to do." That's what you're saying. "I'll love other people, but only according to my ways and my rules." Romans 8:5 gives us an insight in this, right? It says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Paul is dealing with a basic human problem, selfishness. True Christian love is not selfish, but rather seeks to share with others and to do what is pleasing to Christ. Now, I understand, friends, that investing in other people who are not like us isn't easy. But friends, we do not endure the people around us. That's the wrong way to look at it. We do not endure the people around us. We encourage them. We encourage them. Maybe the hardest thing about them is the fact that they've never been encouraged. They've never seen the light of Christ. They've never seen or been loved that way. And God is calling us to invest our lives in the lives of other people for the sake of building them up. Listen, if Jesus is not valued at all, He must be valued above all. You won't truly love anybody until you value Him more than anything, until you see His example as supreme. You know, a husband who is 85% faithful to his wife is not faithful at all. I've been in the room with some people who say, "Well, you know, I mean most of the time," and I go, "Then never." Because most of the time means never. There's no such thing as part-time loyalty to Jesus Christ, because part-time loyalty will always equal part-time love to others. I remember a story about a mission society who wrote to David Livingston. He was a missionary in Africa. And the mission society says, "Have you found a good road to where you are at? If so, we want to send other men to join you." And Livingston replied back to the mission organization and he said this, "If you have men who will come only if there is a good road, then I don't want them. I only want men who will come if there is no road." Maybe there is no road towards your neighbors. Then go. That's the best place to be. Be a trailblazer for Jesus Christ. Hack your own trail. You know what? Somebody needs to go. And if there's no path towards them, that means nobody's gone yet. Praise God, that's you now. A.W. Tozer says that the people of Christ have three distinct marks. Number one, they're only facing one direction, and that's towards His example. Number two, they never turn back. They're always facing His example. And number three, they no longer have plans of their own. I love that because Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that for those who love God, all things, if you think only some things, then circle that one. You need to remember, all things work together for the good of those who are called what? According to His purposes. What are His purposes? "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that none should perish, but all should come to repentance." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." You're God's workmanship. And what does it say after that? "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we ought to walk in them." There are people that God is laying before you, and you're Christ's workmanship, and He's calling you to go to those people. He's created that beforehand. Your crazy neighbor didn't arrive in your neighborhood on accident. They didn't arrive. If you're a Bible-believing person, if you believe in the fact that there isn't happenstance but providence, they didn't arrive in your neighborhood on accident. I do not believe for a second that we have Muslim neighbors for no reason. I do not believe that for a second. Not after having gone through the Crescent Project stuff and thinking about all the different ways that we can reach those people. I don't think those people arrived on accident. And what's even better is yesterday they brought their friends. Now, we have a bit of a problem because they only speak Turkish, but we're working on that. And by the way, if anybody has any questions, I just want to point something out. Google Translator doesn't work. I'm not sure what word I was saying, but it wasn't hello. But in that culture, they have a code of hospitality, so when you say the wrong word, they go, ha, ha, ha. And you go, I think I didn't do it. I think we didn't do that. You know, it reminds me of the story, the hen and the pig approached the church and they read the advertised sermon topic. What can we do to help the poor? Immediately the hen suggested, let's feed them bacon and eggs. And the pig thought for a moment and said, there's only one thing wrong with feeding them bacon and eggs. And the hen said, what is that? And he said, you only have to make a contribution. I have to make a commitment. So friends, I want to ask you, are you the hen or are you the pig? Now, Paul shares here now, as we go further, two sources. These ones are a little shorter, but Paul shares two sources from which we're going to be able to go and invest in others and do that. First of all, the first one that he shares is that the Scripture is essential in this passage. Scripture is essential. The Bible is essential. It is essential. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Paul told the Ephesian elders, I didn't hesitate to shrink back from declaring unto you the full counsel of God. And then Paul said, let's pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. Because as we fulfill the calling of God in our life, we won't just need the kind of happy coffee cup verses that we tend to always go to. We will need the endurance and encouragement of the difficult parts of the full counsel of God, that we might rejoice with thanksgiving in prayer. Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So trials, and the way that we deal with trials, are on view as much as they are for the unjust as they are for the just. How we deal with problems in our life. How when things don't go our way, we react. I watched a Christian brother go through an absolutely horrendous trial. And you want to know the fascinating thing is I had people come up to me afterwards. And they said, I can't believe the strength that they walked through that in. I can't believe it. What a great moment to testify to the fact that Jesus is my strength and it's not me. Because if it was me, I'd be sobbing, a mess. And because Christ is my strength, I walk through it in a different way. And let me tell you what, the unjust are watching the just walk through the storms. And unfortunately, that's where they get the words hypocrite from. It's unfortunate. Therefore, the application is inescapable. Those of us who are investing in others need to be acquainted with the full counsel of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. They need to be acquainted with the full Bible, the full Testament of Scriptures. Apart from this, I don't know how we'll have hope. I don't know how we'll be able to have hope, because the result of knowing the full counsel of God is having hope. How many of us have read the Bible and received hope from it? Received hope from the words of God? I think that'll become that hope that comes from knowing God's Word, from praying, from doing what Paul says here. That'll be the distinguishing characteristic between us and our unbelieving neighbors. You know, pastor was walking down the road and he spotted a drunk and shabbily kind of dressed man. And he recognized him as a man who used to attend his church named Frank. And he said, what happened to you, Frank? Asked the pastor. He said, you used to be wealthy. And Frank proceeded to tell the pastor a sad tale of bad investments. Frank said to the pastor, I want you to go home right now. I want you to open your Bible up just at random, stick your finger on the page, and I believe God will have an answer for you. Frank went home and he did what the pastor said. And sometime later, the pastor bumped into Frank, who was now wearing a Gucci suit. He had a Rolex watch and he stepped out of a brand new Mercedes-Benz. Frank, said the preacher, I'm glad to see things have turned around for you. Yes, pastor, and I owe it all to you, said Frank. He said, I went home and I did just as you said. I opened my Bible, I put my finger down on the page, and there was the answer, chapter 11. Some of you didn't get that. But I have some folks in my life who are those Franks, who only look at one piece of the Bible and think that's the encouraging thing, and not realize that the hope and the encouragement is the full counsel of God. The full counsel of God. And I'll also admit that those Franks in my life, they frustrate me at times. Just as the parents of impatient children frustrate their folks. But the Word of God can give us patience and encouragement. We need to invest in those people in the midst of those seasons. The third thing is that Scripture encourages us. Scripture is our encouragement. God has inspired the writing of the Bible in such a way that when you follow the meaning from story to story, from book to book, when you read the full counsel of God, the effect is endurance and encouragement. And friends, if that's not happening, if your endurance is not being built and your encouragement is not being built while you read the Bible, then you're not reading it. Just think about the constant message of redemptive history. What God says is, the arm of the Lord too short? All day I hold out my hand. There is one who will come. And when He appears, and when He comes, and He will be coming again, when He returns. Words for endurance and encouragement. Stand fast. Stand fast. And fourth is the power of hope. That's what Paul says, right? Paul says the power of hope for encouragement of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. Romans 15:13 says that, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You may leap in hope. You may jump in hope. You may rest in hope. You may know hope. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked the boy in the dugout what the score was. And the boy responded, 18-0, and we're behind. Boy, said the spectator, I'll bet you're discouraged. Boy said, why should I be discouraged? We haven't even got up to bat yet. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. G.K. Chesterton said, hope means hoping when things are hopeless. He says, as long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery and a platitude. It's only when everything is hopeless that true hope begins to become your strength. Colossians says, because of hope laid up for us in heaven, or this you have heard before the word of truth, the gospel. We can have hope because, like Paul, we have heard. Friends, you have heard. Therefore, you have hope. You have the full counsel of God, so you should have hope. And if we want to see the world beginning in the places that we frequent the most, if we want to see people that we are spend time around a lot in our neighborhoods and our places of work and all those kinds of things, if we want to see those people change, then we need to be alive with hope. If they see you and you have a litany of the problems of your life and Christ isn't a part of that sentence, then you are not exuding a life lived in hope. Why do you need to be alive with hope? Because let me tell you what, the Bible tells us hope does not disappoint. Everything else in your life at some point will probably disappoint you. Your favorite TV show will take a wrong turn. Your favorite actor will fall off the rails. Your favorite musician will go to rehab. Your favorite author will write a dinger. Your husband will not take the trash out when you asked him. Your wife will make meatloaf the wrong way. Something will happen. Your kids will not go to the school you wanted them to go to. Your sons and daughters may not listen to you. There will be disappointments, but the Bible says hope does not disappoint. And as people who are alive with hope, we are those who are not disappointed because of Christ. It's not enough to believe in Christ's work for us, but as we invest in others, we need to believe in Christ's work in us. That hope that is alive within us. Friends, there are no such thing as hopeless people or hopeless situations. There's only people who have grown hopeless. If you're looking at somebody and you're saying, I just don't think Christ can do something in their life, it's not that they're hopeless, it's that you have lost hope. And that may be for us hard to hear, but it's because you have lost hope. And you are called to be one who is alive with hope, because hope does not disappoint, because Christ has been poured out. That's why verse 5 and 6, Paul prays. So we go on to verse 5 and 6 here. Paul prays because he knows this is going to be hard. He realizes the gravity of what has just been called. He's just called the Romans and us too. So he prays and he says, may the God of endurance and encouragement. This is like the prayer in Ephesians 3. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another and in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul concludes by praying for you and then extolling the fact that one day we will worship together. we'll lift our voices together, that with one heart and one mouth and one mind, we will glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's no small thing to invest and build up brothers and sisters. It's demanding, but perfectly reasonable and possible. First, because Jesus Christ did it. And second, because it's indispensable to true worship. As you minister to people who are difficult, you're worshiping. You're worshiping the God of hope. Because you're believing in His hope above all else. And then Paul concludes this in Romans 15 by saying, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Last thing I'll say, Christ's example and the witness of Scripture and prayer gives strength to Paul's challenge to welcome one another then, just as Christ has welcomed you. And I want to ask you, friends, and this is personal, but I want you to think about this. How did Christ welcome you? How did He welcome you? He welcomed you probably with all your sins and prejudices, right? He welcomed you with your innumerable blind spots. He welcomed you with all your shortcomings, all your drama and all your issues. He welcomed you with your imperfections and your blemishes. He welcomed you with even your stubbornness and your lack of faith. And friends, this is how we're to welcome others. This is how we're to welcome others. If you want perfect people to hang around with, let me just be honest with you, they don't exist and neither are you. But if you want to go and start welcoming people with imperfections and prejudices and blind spots and blemishes and drama and issues and all those kinds of things, they're everywhere, but they're not hopeless as long as you remain hope-filled. You see, nobody here knows what their last 24 hours are going to be like. However, we do know by the example of Jesus Christ how we're to live right now. With the kind of hope that does not disappoint. With the kind of hope that does not falter. And those of us here don't know if we have 24 hours left or 24 years or 100 years. But Jesus showed us what it was like to live those last hours. To invest in others, to love others, to pray for them, and to not lose hope. This morning as you ponder and think about who you are investing in your life, my prayer for you, for every single one of you, is that you would not lose hope. And that they are not hopeless. As I closed out last week's sermon, maybe there are people that you've been praying for and investing in for years upon years upon years upon years. Maybe it's 20 years. Maybe it's 30 years. And maybe you are tossing the seed on the ground now that you might not see come to fruition. And that's really difficult for us to grasp. But He is the God of all hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we don't have to lose hope. Because You do not disappoint us. Every day, Father, as we look around at situations that are happening, we can only cry out, the Bible's true. The things that are happening around us, they're in Your Word. The ways that people are reacting, it's in Your Word. The things that we're facing are in Your Word. And Father, as we look at our prayer lists, as we look at those people around us, and we think about the answers to prayer that we've seen, Father, we think, it's true. You're true. You're real. You're absolutely everything You said You were and more. And Father, You don't disappoint. And therefore, my prayer, Father, is that we would be a people who are marked by hope, that doesn't see people as hopeless, that doesn't see situations as hopeless, that doesn't see any of that, Father, because we only see You. Father, help each one of us today as we invest and love our neighbors. Father, as we abound to their doorsteps with hope, and with joy, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. That was Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. As this past Sunday, he delivered a message entitled Investing, and I broke it into yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm certainly filled with hope after that message and feel encouraged and called to step out of my comfort zone and share the good news message, that hope-filled message, to those around me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.